Brittany. I'm an alcoholic. It's so funny because, like, I don't really know what's going to come up when I share, but I did, like, know two very specific things that I was going to say, which is that the first thing is, like, if you're new, welcome. You know, everything I say is not, it's not AA. It's my experience, my strength, and my hope. So take what you want. And then the second thing I was going to say is I didn't want to show up tonight. And, you know, my experience today is, like, the people who have what I want, they show up even when they don't want to. And, like, I didn't want to show up, but I showed up anyway just because, like, it's not about me, right? I'm doing service. And then also, like, I don't know what happens when I show up. I don't know the fruits of showing up or what's going to, like, manifest as a result of me just taking the action of moving my feet and getting to this meeting. And I was, like, writing a note to my higher power on the train. And I was, like, kind of reflecting on how before, you know, programs, because I'm dual diagnosed, I'm in another fellowship, and, like, before working these programs, I would be afraid of something, and I wouldn't get up and show up. I just wouldn't. And I would always wonder, like, well, what would have happened if I had taken the action of showing up? And it felt really good to, like, be on the train reflecting on that and, like, seeing the difference in how, you know, today, like, when I'm uncomfortable or when I'm scared or when I'm, like, you know, petrified of something, I can still get up and take an action. And, like, my feelings don't have to be facts today. They don't have to be the deciding factor of my life. And that feels, like, so amazing. It feels like a gift. And it was also, like, really exciting to, like, get here and, like, know so many women. Because, like, when I first came in, like, the suggestion that I got was to connect to the women. And, of course, I was like, oh, girls, I don't want to talk to the girls. And I did that anyway, too. And, like, it just felt amazing to come in here and be like, hey, such and such, and hey, and how are you? What's going on with you? And, like, to get the reflection from someone before starting that, like, you know, just grounding in and being honest about where I am and, like, what's going on with me is always, like, something that people can relate to. Because, like, my experience is that, like, I don't come here because, you know, I'm strong and I can do it all on my own. I come here because it's something, a common bond that we all share that, like, keeps us connected and keeps us supporting each other. So I never thought I would say this, but I'm really grateful to be an alcoholic, you know, because I don't know where I would be without this fellowship and without you guys and so many things that I get here. So just to, like, share a little bit of my story, like, I started drinking when I was 9 years old. And I've shared this before, like, my uncle and I were playing a game of Uno, and he was like, go get me a beer. And then he was like, go get yourself one, too, and don't tell your mom. And I was like, you know, I didn't, like, when I got the drink and we were drinking together, I didn't have that, like, ta-da, coming home moment that a lot of people describe, but I did have that moment of, like, so this is how you connect. Like, this is how people, you know, bond, you know, like, we keep each other's secrets and we, like, drink together. And I even noticed, like, with my uncle, like, the difference between, like, before we had the beer and we were playing cards to, like, afterwards. Uno was more like Uno, you know, like, it was like it was a whole different card game. So I took that with me, like, this is how we connect. And my experience with, like, alcohol is that, like, I didn't really, like, I had drinks, like, I would drink wine coolers and I would drink beer and, like, I had, like, you know, little drinks here and there as I was growing up, but I didn't really get into the experience of being a hardcore drinker until I hit college. And my, like, claim to fame is, like, when I was in college was, like, oh, I had my first drink when I was 9 years old. Like, I can drink any of you under the table. Like, I was that girl who, you know, when we had a party, like, I prided myself and, like, I was still going after everyone else was, like, doing something different. And I thought that was hot. Like, that was hot to me. And I remember when I, like, first got into college, like, I didn't go there to get an education like most people. I went there because I wanted to be safe. I wanted to be away from my family. I thought my family was the problem. I thought if I got away from them, then my life would be different. I didn't have tools, so I thought that the tool was to relocate and to, like, you know, invest in a different environment. And I got to college and, like, you know, I met people, and the things that baffled me about people were that they, like, came from, like, supportive families. They, like, some people, like, never had a drink before. People were virgins. Like, I was like, what is this, you know? Like, what? Like, I didn't really get the concept of, like, the different personalities. And also, like, when I got there, I started smoking marijuana, which is also a part of my story. And, like, I remember the first time, like, we had a party. Everybody was, like, drinking and getting high. And, like, I had this epiphany that, like, I could be a person that I couldn't be when I was sober. Like, I could, you know, say anything, you know, and people would laugh and they thought I was funny. I felt seen. I felt, again, connected. And I just felt like, you know, I could blame it on the goose. I don't know why that's coming up, but I felt like I could, like, you know, blame it on the alcohol, which was, like really cool for me at the time. And, like, you know, like most people, as I've heard in this, in their qualification, like, it only worked for as long as it worked, right? Like, it felt good at first. Like, it was an escape. Like, and then another thing I've shared before, it's like I had this, like, and have this, like, spiritual malady. And the difference between then and now is, like, today I, like, come to AA. You know, I go to my other program. I, like, use the tools. I have tools today. I didn't have tools before. And I didn't know. Like, I didn't know that I had, like, a spiritual malady. I didn't know that, you know, I had a disease of, like, insatiability and that, like, I just wanted something to fill a God-sized hole. Like, I didn't know that. I just thought that, like, you know, something was wrong with me. And nobody understood Brittany. And, you know, if only people could, like, you know, understand how it, like, was said in my head versus how I communicated it out loud, everything would be okay. And, you know, I found myself, like, spiraling into a deep, dark place. And, like, it's really ironic. Like, I'm an English graduate, but I failed English 4 times in college. Like, you know, like, that's my story. Like, you know, I would, like, my day consisted of, like, you know, eating by day, because that's my other program. And then, like, at night, when someone called me and they were like, we're, like, having a party or we're smoking weed or whatever, like, doing that. Like, I didn't have a life. My life was really small, you know. I would, like, watch TV and fantasize and be delusional about, like, what life could be, but I didn't know that, like, there was a such thing as, like, taking action and, like, changing myself or my environment. And what happened to me is that I ended up having a nervous breakdown. You know, I was a person of extremes, you know, like, in the sense of if something wasn't working for me, I would try to write it off and pretend like it never happened and try to start from scratch. Like, oh, okay, I didn't just, like, drink and drink and drink, you know? Like, I didn't just eat that thing. I didn't do that. Like, I'm just going to stop. I'm going to go to church. And, like, these things, like, it's nothing wrong with church. It's nothing wrong with, you know, it's nothing wrong if you don't have a problem. I have a problem. And so I would use these things, and I ended up having a nervous breakdown, and I had to go into, like, a mental facility. And I met someone whose son was going to my college, and he was in AA. And he, like, you know, like, he took us, like, to a meeting once, and of course I, like, didn't know what was going on. I was like, you know, people were talking about God and talking about, like, steps and tools, and it was, like, foreign to me. I didn't understand, but I could see what was happening in his life. Like, he was, like, bright. His eyes were sparkling. He was, like, wearing the same outfit every day and made it look brand new, you know, and not because he, you know, not because he was poor or anything, just because he was comfortable in his skin. And it was something that I wanted. And, like, how I ended up in the program is, like, he introduced me to my other program at first. He was like, why don't you just go to this place? And, you know, and I was there and I realized, like, you know, with the food, like, that was being addressed, but the other thing wasn't. Like, I was still, like, you know, drinking and a mess, you know, and I came into AA, and I have to say, like, the first time around for me in this program, it wasn't really about me wanting to be better. It wasn't about me wanting to, like, address myself or my issues. It was about wanting to please someone else. And so I had the experience of like coming into AA, getting sober, and being not invested, because what if I'm not an alcoholic? I mean, yeah, I was drinking since I was nine. Like, and I've done things, guys. Like, I've like went out with friends and like went to the bar. Where were you? I was in the bathroom. You know, like I've done things, but I still was like, oh, what if I'm not an alcoholic? Like, what if I'm not? Just like, so I graduated from college and I relocated to New York City. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. And I just like slowly drifted away. You know, like I came here and I was like, okay, I don't know about this. And I started drinking, and like how I came back to the program is like I was like miserable, you know, like just really uncomfortable in my skin. And I was going to the club. Like, that's a big part of my story, like going to the club. People know that. And I was like out one night, and I went to the bar and I told the bartender, I was like, can I have like maybe like a sex on the beach? It was something like really like, you know, girly and cute. And then she was like, she gave me that. And then I went back and I was like, can I have a glass of white wine? And she like, she gave me that. And then I went back and I was like, can I have a glass of, you know, like it just didn't stop. And so finally it was like, can I have a shot of vodka? You know, like, and that's when I was like, okay, you know, like, I have a problem. Like, I'm an alcoholic. I have a problem. And like, the biggest thing I can say in my experience is like, no one can tell me that I'm an alcoholic. I can't tell anyone that they're an alcoholic. You know, it's something that the person has to decide on their own. And like, I realized that I have a problem, and I decided to come and get help and like do what I knew was what was available to me. Like, I knew these rooms existed. And for me, it was like a travesty to like know that help was here and that tools were here and that like, you know, the opportunity to like be of service was here and be of purpose was here, and to not take it, to just like do the same thing. And like, that's what insanity is for me. It's like doing the same things over and over again and expecting a different outcome. Like, maybe if I bump my head against the wall to the left instead of to the right, it'll be a different experience. And it's like, no, it's not. It's still insanity. So like, that was my experience. And like, when I came back like into the rooms, like, it was only like by the grace of my higher power, which I call God or the divine, that like I came into YES, which I consider my home group. YES meets on Saturdays at 7 p.m. And like I came into that room and people were just like, welcome, how are you? Like, can you count days? And like I didn't want to count days because I was like so embarrassed. And like people were just like, no, you're here. Like, you're here, you know, like, welcome, you know. And I felt so welcomed and I felt so embraced. And nobody in this room has ever made me feel like I wasn't valuable because I didn't have a certain amount of time. It's literally like one day. I've heard it said that like, if you woke up earlier than me this morning, then you have more time than me, you know. And I mean, you can like argue that if you have like 20 years, I don't know. But like, the truth is like, I can be of service no matter where I am in my sobriety. And like, choosing to show up to this room is like probably one of the most brave things that like I've seen myself do, and like one of the most consistent things that I've done in my life. And like, today I do it because I genuinely want to be better. I want to be of service. I want to be of purpose. And it's not because, you know, I want the guy to see me, you know, or because I want like the job. And like, honestly, like those things are kind of like happening, like they're happening, but like, my needs have been pure, my wants have been purified, and my needs are being met on such a like high level being in this program. And like, it's a pleasure to like be here and like be of service and to like, you know, to show up when I don't want to. Cause like, I was like, oh my God, you know. And like, my experience today is like, the ego, whenever it's loud because I'm doing something really powerful. And the ego was saying to me like on the way here, like, you like just like really like disrespecting me. And like, I've learned today, like, you know, like I've learned today that like, if the ego is loud, it's probably because I'm taking an action that's like bettering my life, and like I'm doing something really powerful. And so I was like, oh, okay, that's great. The ego is loud, and I showed up, versus like, oh, the ego is loud, I'm gonna go under my covers and like wait for tomorrow. And like, that's like one of the gifts. And like, just to share like, I guess, some differences in my life today and like where I am today versus where I was before. Like, I can say that like today I enjoy doing things I don't want to do. You know, I don't feel like a victim Vicky doesn't get me today. You know, like, I take responsibility for my life. I'm working steps. I've worked the steps, and I'm showing up for, like, my amends, and it's not perfect. And I talk about this all the time. Like, I get to be messy today. Like, everything before was about, like, people-pleasing and being a perfectionist and, like, trying to, like, manipulate my ways into connections. And, like, today, like, I get to be seen in a way that's, like, so uncomfortable but, like, so authentic. Like, I get to be imperfect. I get to be messy. I get to, like, you know, take risks. I get to be sober, which is, like, really cool. You know, like, I didn't drink today. I didn't take, like, any mood or mind altering substances today. Like, I took a nap, you know, like, it's really cool. It's like a gift. I also, like, I've walked through, like, not having a job, having a job in this program, you know, and people have, like, supported me through that. I've walked through, like, interviewing for another job. I've walked through, like, being in a relationship, being single. And, like, I recently was reading the Big Book with my sponsor, and one of the things that it read was, like, and I think it was in working with others, was, like, you know, ultimately, like, the state of my life, my outside life, like, whether I have a job or a partner or, you know, all these, like, outward things that society may say are worthwhile, like, that's not what takes care of my sobriety. Like, my connection with my higher power, like, ultimately, it's, like, helping my sobriety today. So, like, I can have a job. I haven't had a job, and, like, I've been sober through it, and, like, it's a miracle. Like, I just feel like such a miracle, and, like, I look at each of you, and I think that you all are miracles. And, like, the best part today is that, like, I don't sit on, like, a lotus flower, like, thinking that, like, you know, I just need to, like, meditate my way through life, you know? Like, I get to, like, be grounded with you and, like, look at you and see you and listen to you. And I actually hear God in you. So it's, like, it's a miracle to, like, I don't know, to just have such a huge shift in my life today. And I just want to say, like, Chris, thank you for asking me to share. And I really appreciate you all for, like, 3 minutes. Oh, that's great timing. Yeah, just, like, for just listening to me share my experience, strength, and hope, and, like, for helping me to, like, change my life, and thank you for my sobriety.